It's the morning DNA for April 17th, 2023. My name is Aaron Dicer. I'm the man of a single black shirt. She is Danae Hughes, the woman of a million distractions. And we're here to find out what today, this morning, this week, this month, maybe this year is made of.
Wow, that's a lot.
It is a lot. Let's focus on today. Let's focus on today, shall we?
I like that because all of a sudden, like, the entire universe opened up and then like a wormhole appeared
and
possibilities in the form of constellations began swirling in front of my eyes and I was being sucked into what can only be described as a time vortex.
Right.
Stretching me into the future and the past with this pressing voice saying, "What will you do with your life today?" as I'm unraveling. So thank you for pulling it back into the now. Because today,
you're welcome.
I can be late and still have fun. That's today already lesson
of
today.
Yeah. Yes, it is a day of lateness. We are late to you as far as the next episode, and we are late to you as far as the timing of the episode.
Woo! Go us. We are just lateening
it on all respects.
I feel like one of the things that is both true, and I also should be careful with it, I believe I can blame almost all of my tardiness on being a parent if I think about it long enough.
Everything is the fault of your child if you try hard enough.
I feel like that's true. Not that it's the best thing, but there are, being a parent really changes so much, including giving you the best out for any circumstance. Like if you don't want to go do something,
you can't.
Probably there's a reason, like you don't really have to. And then also, like tardiness and things not, the child.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Lolly says, "I have no kids. Why am I late?"
My child. You can just use Iris.
By proxy.
By proxy parenting is the thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, of course. Yeah. Of course.
Or you can go the animal route if you wanted to. If you have animals. If you don't have animals, you can go on the researching animals route.
The animal thing doesn't hold up as well in some courts.
Oh. Okay, so now we're going to the court level. We've gone from just telling a friend.
No.
My cat pooped in the carpet to going to court.
Speaking of metaphorical courts, courts of public opinion, whatever the case may be, in some circumstances, your child is going to be a much more solid excuse than perhaps having a dog will be or a cat.
That. I can see or that.
Or especially a goldfish. Look, if you try to blame your goldfish, you should expect some pushback. Just saying.
Well, you're not being clever enough.
You're not thinking hard enough.
You're not thinking hard enough. Yeah. You can get clever with just about anything. Mm-hmm. I'm telling you, you can lie.
What we're saying is everything's an excuse.
I did go to the pet store with Iris over the weekend to try to get a specific kind of chew toy that my dog likes.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't find it at the first store. So I went to the second store. And in the second store, they had live animals. So that was interesting because Iris is now of age where going over to the cages and looking inside and thinking about owning one is more of an interesting thought experiment than just like, oh, that's a chinchilla. Now it's like, is that my chinchilla?
Yes.
So that was interesting.
Slab says, "Oh, sorry, can't go to your poetry reading. Baby Slab has scarlet fever."
Okay, so there's lying and then there's inventing too much because, that goes too far.
Lolly says, "I do have a dachshund underfoot while I'm packing my lunch.
Go.
And Slab responds, "Dachshund underfoot is the most UK sounding town ever."
That's very Hobbit like, isn't it?
Yes.
Underhill,
yes.
Underfoot.
I grew up in Dachshund Underfoot. It's a beautiful, beautiful burg.
Beautiful burg. Loved it.
That was great. It was great.
Did you ever take your kids to pet stores and then almost leave the pet store with a pet? Did that ever happen?
No. The second part, never. Not a chance. If we were getting a pet, it was a considered decision. It was not a spur of the moment. However, the first part, as far as like keeping them preoccupied with animals, that was a great thing for like the Walmart fish section. You know, like how like Walmarts have this like aquarium section? Used to. Yeah, I don't know that they do anymore. Look, I, you know, my youngest graduates from high school in 2 weeks. So.
Well, it's not your age. It's that you opted to go to the grocery delivery service post-pandemic, and you haven't looked back since pandemic. It's just true. You haven't been to one because you don't need to.
We listen, I want to be very clear. Walmart was delivering our groceries in 2019. This was not a post-pandemic decision. This was, are you kidding me? They'll bring the food to me? Sign me up.
Yeah, what? You haven't
it's
needed
60 to. $60 a year? Okay. Like, how is anyone not making this decision?
I like to go. You know why I like to go? Because now I am the one that can inform everyone that there isn't a fish store anymore.
Thank you. Yes. It adds value to your existence. I totally get it.
I'm helping.
That's right. I did wonder why when I wanted to order a fish, the goldfish, I couldn't do that on the app.
Yeah, it's weird. But anyway, so they went to the fish aisle.
Yeah, so we would keep them occupied in the fish aisle while the other one was doing the grocery shopping or, you know, whatever the case may be. So.
Man, can you imagine just being entertained by fish?
I saw it happen long enough
for your parent to grocery shop. You're just standing there looking at fish. You don't need an app game to keep you entertained. You're just watching fish.
Well, yeah. And to be fair, when my kids were young, app games were called leapfrogs, leap pads. Do you remember leap pads?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That was their version of app games. Was like a dedicated machine that they would put a book in and point at stuff or whatever. But they, for them, the aquarium is just like, you know, two dozen of the most realistic televisions ever. Like they just go from one to another, just going, wow, what's in this
Iris,
one?
Iris, there's the fish wall at this pet store. So she's going and looking at the fish. And there's a person that works there who was cleaning out the tank. And he had this hose attached to a cylinder, a clear cylinder, and she asks, what is he doing? And so he begins to teach her, which was really cool. Mm-hmm. And he puts the tube down against the bottom and it starts to suck up the something, and she goes, mm-hmm. Is that poop? Because it was dark. Mm-hmm. And he said, no, this is charcoal. And she says, what's the charcoal for? And he's like, really great question. So this helps to filter out the, and I think he said something like something he's, Iris checks out. She's like, mm-hmm. You know what? I really wasn't that interested in that.
Yeah.
But I am now interested in it. So then we're like, I'm like, no, let's stay and talk to this random stranger about the interesting thing that this charcoal does in the fish tank. Mm-hmm. So we kind of like had our struggle. And then she wanders down and we get to see the disturbing, interesting, curious, alarming snake feeding going on. Mm-hmm.
Sure. Sure.
So adjacent to this snake section, and by the way, all the snakes are in one container, not all of them, but like there's three or four in one container. I guess they just keep to themselves. But I glance in and each one of them is kind of wrapped around a white mouse. And I remember someone telling me, I think it was at the zoo when we went to the zoo, that they have frozen mice and they kind of like dance them around to sort of look alive a little bit. And that way the snake still kind of hunts them, but then it's not cruel to the mouse who has already passed. Mm-hmm. So it was adjacent to this snake
puppet show,
right? Is a freezer with like little packets that are called like mice to go.
Uh-huh. Yes.
I'm like, oh my God. And she just goes over. She just rips open another container like she's about to mm-hmm. open a snack cake.
Yes.
And then she gets these little tweezers and she just starts to dance them around. But she can't dance them around too much because then the snakes can get a little bit too aggressive with each other. Mm-hmm. So there's this whole mm-hmm. thing going on. And it's like watching a train wreck. I can't look away. And I thought, I wonder how Iris is going to handle this. And she was totally fine because turns out she's super obsessed with the bird section. But I kept glancing over like those are dead mice, totally mm-hmm. frozen. And this is going to sound really messed up, but I'm going to say it anyway. Like snakes, they go for heat. So yeah, you're moving the popsicle, but shouldn't you like microwave it first?
Hot
or toast
pockets.
It a little? Yeah, like make it a little hot pocket first, right?
The snake bites into is like, why is the blood so hot? Why is the outside so cold?
I feel like we're just missing a little bit of the point of how snakes want to be, because they go by movement and mm-hmm. aren't they a little heat sensory thing?
Yes. Yeah, I believe so. I mean, I'm not a snake expert. I just know I all of a sudden want to see the snake version of doing that thing that's like...
The hot pocket dance. Hot pocket. Where you're like sucking air into your mouth. Too cool.
Have you ever taken a bite of something so hot you spit it out immediately because you knew the hot pocket dance wasn't going to work?
It's not going
to
work.
It's just like, I have to stop the scalding now.
You've burned part of your mouth. You don't need to go full esophagus burn.
Correct. Correct. As I've gotten older, I've learned where to place hot materials in my mouth so they do the least damage if it still might be too hot.
Yeah.
Keep it away from the tongue.
From the previous ones in all the same area. It's just this.
I have a hot pocket zone on the roof of my mouth that I've developed over time.
Okay, go with me here. Is there a future where people who have snakes, they rip open their little mouse hot pocket, and then they kind of like, my vision here is that they sort of lay the mouse out like it's sunning and like a little reclining chair, add the little sunglasses, and then it bakes for a hot minute. And then you do the puppet dance.
Yeah. Goes full Stuart Little.
Yeah. I just feel like it's better. Anyway, this is the stuff I'm thinking about. I did not share this with my daughter because I don't want to draw attention to the madness of my mind.
Yeah. Maybe we should just leave them in the wild and just let them do their thing. And then we don't have to pretend to, you know, be concerned about, you know, cruelty to animals or whatever. Maybe it's the capturing them that's the first part.
Yeah.
Should snakes be pets is what I'm asking. Or should we just leave them in the wild? They're not really domesticated, are they?
No.
Am I saying something controversial? Should we move on?
Is everything controversial? Probably.
It is if you try harder. It is if you're a parent. Just blame the parenting.
Yes. And we've circled back.
And we've gotten full circle. You ready to shoe a doe?
Let's shoe a doe.
All right, we're going to do the DNA, and you will have a D topic, an A topic, and as many U topics as we can get to. If you've got stuff you want us to talk about, things going on in the world you wonder our opinions on, something going on in your life that you would like some advice on, a score you want to settle, an argument, a debate, whatever it might be, put that as a U question. Just put a U at the beginning. We will mark it, and we will get to all those at the end. But for now, Danae, what is your topic?
Well, I don't mean to exclude the non-parents that are listening, but you can answer this question too. And this is heavy on my mind because I have a project that I'm doing right now that is trying to undo what I feel is going to be damage to my child if I don't get this habit of mine under control. So my question today is, what's one of your habits that you do not want to pass on to your child, a child, an imaginary child, just an awareness of something that you do that you're trying to actively not give to other people? Wow. And I am right in the middle of an interesting one, and I came up with a solution, and no one stops you when you're the parent because you're the parent. So it's like, I'm going to do this thing, and then I'll ask others' opinions on it. And people seem to be like, this is a good idea. So I'm confident in a lot of ways. And then like, I don't know what I'm doing in others. So Iris has a collection of toys, as has been happening in her life. She turns 6 this week.
Yeah, nice birthday party.
She had her birthday party over the weekend, and then she's actually turning 6 in a couple of days. And she has acquired quite a collection of toys at this point, which I was warned would happen. I tried to stop the tsunami. I became part of the tsunami. Like, it's hard.
It's difficult.
It is.
People want to give your kids gifts, and the easiest gift is a toy.
Yeah. So learning what Iris enjoys about purchasing toys, receiving gifts, that's been something that I've been spending time on. So we have conversations. Iris and I have conversations about, like, when we go out, we go to places, we go shopping, sort of setting the stage, setting the expectations so she knows we're not shopping for toys today. Because her struggling with the need versus want thing is just going to be part of her journey, and she's still young, but we have these conversations. I can't do the Dicer method. Aaron, do you want to talk about the Dicer method quickly?
When your kids are away for a couple of days, you throw all their toys away?
Can't do it. Can't do it. But you know they're not using them.
Listen, the Dicer method has never backfired. I have never had one of my children go, "Hey, where's that thing?" Because they don't use them. I mean, you have to know what your kids are attached to. Like, because there are a certain few that if you threw away, they would know. But no, every purge was, there was never a, you know, "Hey, what happened to
this
thing?" Never backlash. Not a one.
So my attempt at the Dicer method is looks like this in my household. And I may adopt more of the Dicer method soon, because I feel myself in the anxiety of, and because it's triggering for me, the collection, the hoarding, kind of the space being gone. What are we doing with all this stuff that you don't touch? And there's this guilt that I have, like, that's not my toy. I shouldn't make this decision for her. But then I should, because it's going to help her. It's just it's a minefield.
Sure.
I wish I could dice her method fully, but I can't. Sure. So I have taken all of her toys out of her room now twice, and I've put them downstairs. So I've just moved the pile, right? But that's out of her vision. And I didn't know what to do with it until the idea came to me that I took everything out of her room and put it downstairs. Everything that was in the house or in my room, I made her collect and go put away in her room so that it looked clean and clutter free. She still had toys in there, and they're the ones that she was currently actively playing with in the house. And it's starting to help her clean up, because there's somewhere to put that thing that she has. It's somewhere that it goes. And then whenever she wants to do something new or she's getting bored, I have a little basket. She puts things from her room into the basket, and then we go downstairs and we trade out. So she gets to shop, essentially, the thing that she's kind of liking to do. She gets to shop for what she already has. And we have a box there now for donation. And if she picks something up, I ask her, "Do you want to keep that or do you want to donate it?" And she's starting to put things in the donate box. So now I'm starting this process of her trying to engage in having a clean space. Mm-hmm. Only having what she's using, not collecting new things. And then we go into her birthday where she gets a whole bunch of new stuff. So that's sort of what I'm trying to do. And I don't know if it's going to actually solve the habit that I'm not trying to pass on to my kid, which is this fear of letting go of things. This like anxiety that, oh, maybe I'm going to need this paperclip later. Like, it's a freaking paperclip, Danae. You know, just I got my own stuff that I've got to work through, but I don't want it to pass. This, like, every single item has potential. Everything has something it can do. And I don't want her to have that pressure of keeping everything. So this is me trying to kind of begin that with her. And it's a lot, but I think your
system's great. I think that's beautiful. It's better than the Dicer method. It's totally better.
How do you know that? Yours is fine, right?
I think it's fine. You know, it's...
How are your adult children anyway? Your Dicer method has, like, you now have four children.
They don't seem to be hoarders. They seem, when things disappear from their lives, they seem to handle it with grace. And there is part of, this isn't the point I was going to make, but there is part of me, I think, with children sometimes where we want to give them their own agency. And sometimes we forget that we know better than them. And that's how it's supposed to be. Like, we know better what is good for our children than they know for themselves. That is how it works. Their brain is still developing, whatever. And so finding that balance of, like, giving them agency, allowing them to figure things out, to grow, to make decisions on their own, versus sometimes you just got to make the decisions for them. That's an interesting balance as a parent. And I think the needle in our current culture is a little more towards agency, and might need to balance a little bit back towards the idea of acting for our children and being their agents.
It's hard. It's hard to know, especially when she's like, "This is my toy and it means so much to me." And I'm like, looking at it now that she hasn't touched it for a year, going, "Does she still feel this way, or has she forgotten it existed? I don't know."
But there is part of her that needs to learn when it disappears and it's gone, she'll be okay.
Yes.
Because we all have to deal with that. And sometimes it's not our choice in life. So I don't mind my method, but I like your method. I think it allows her the agency of understanding what she's doing. And I think there is something about that, that idea of teaching our children how to give, how to understand. The other thing I was going to talk about on this topic which is very near and dear to my heart as someone who loves throwing things away, is I think we go very quickly to the donate, and I think we donate too much. Now, hear me out. Hear me out. We live in an overabundance of resources, right? So the fact that I donate a toy somewhere does not necessarily mean a net positive good for the resources of the world. I wish there was a way to recycle instead of just, you know, trash, because we do have too much trash, which again comes from an overabundance of resources. But it's the same thing like when you tell your kids eat your food because there's, you know, starving people somewhere in the world. Well, is that food going to feed them? No, because we have an overabundance of resources in our country and where we live specifically. Those two things don't always equate. So throwing your food away is okay because you just happen to have more food. What's not okay is that you happen to have more food. How do we fix that? I don't know. That's a really big question. I'm just saying in the minutia of it, like because there's an overabundance of resources, I really do believe it's okay to throw things away. We don't have to think about every single thing being sold or donated or whatever.
We don't, but it is so ingrained. And this is something that, like, for me, that's another part that I struggle with. It's this idea of a habit I'm not wanting to pass on. I don't want to pass on keeping things because you feel obligated to keep things. I don't want to make her feel like there's a couple things in her giveaway pile that I think my mom is going to have a struggle with. She's going to look at it and go, wait, sure, you're giving that away? And I feel that sense of obligation to say, oh, but grandma wants you to keep that, you know, and I'm like holding myself back because this is for Iris. It's not putting that on her. And when she decides to throw something away or donate it or whatever we're going to be doing with this giveaway pile, there's some things in there that I for sure don't want her to get rid of. So that's going to go in my stuff.
Sure, sure.
And I don't want her to necessarily see that. But at the same time, I'm going, why do I feel like I have to keep it? So I'm kind of working on through my own stuff too.
Right. And part of the issue, and it's exactly what the question you're asking. I'd love to get to some of the answers that you guys have been doing. But part of what you're dealing with is secondhand hoarding, right? Like this idea that I'm doing it because I know it's valuable to someone else, not even necessarily valuable to me. And we're all built differently. Some people put so much meaning in physical objects.
Yeah.
And I'm not here to judge that or to say where the balance on that is. I'm just saying that makes it very tricky as someone who doesn't put a lot of meaning into all physical objects. Do I have physical objects in my life that I put meaning into? Absolutely.
They're on your wall.
Thank you. I put, you know, meaning into those things, but it's not, it's a lot harder when somebody else has put meaning into something that you want to throw away. Like that's really difficult.
And there's so that's a balance there. Yeah. And I feel like also I want her to know that we can converse about it. So we're going to just be talking about it. And if there's a struggle I have, I'll talk to her about it because I want her to learn how to process through that stuff. And we can take a break if we need to. Yeah. But yeah, let's get to the comments because there's some really good ones in here.
Jet Smith says, having no emotions. I will correct that for you, Jet Smith. The thing you're meaning to say is squelching your emotions. We all do have emotions.
Unless you're Vulcan. No, I guess Vulcans have learned to suppress that.
They
do. This is me going into some science fiction.
Yeah. Lolly says, sarcasm. My level of sarcasm would be terrible coming from a six-year-old. I don't know about that. Sarcasm can be fun no matter the age.
So. This one from Shaggy who says, I really would like to use my phone less around the kids. It's a good one to try for. I know that for me, I'll grab it and be using it. And it just teaches her to disconnect and do her own thing too. I remember growing up feeling like I wanted to spend time with my parents and we would be watching TV. And I would have something to say and then they'd be watching TV. And I remember feeling like I wasn't having as much attention as I wanted because I was a child and children want attention. That's all they want is your undivided attention. And now that I'm an adult with my own child and the phone is the distraction, not just the TV, it's so intense. This is a hard one for me too, but it's a good one to keep in mind that
I think that is a human problem right now. I don't know that is parent child. Like that is just, we are all in
our own little worlds,
our own little rectangles. Yeah. So yeah, for
it's definitely a good one to work out. Good luck to us all. Definitely. Let's see. What's the other one you see here, Aaron?
Those were the three main ones I saw. I've been trying to rack my brain on my own answer to this question, and it's a little bit different for me right now because, like you mentioned, my kids are all adults now. My youngest is 18 mm-hmm. and graduating from high school, fingers crossed. And that will be, you know, that will be the a demarcation line. Of a type of parenting that has ended, right?
Right.
You never stop being a parent. Never. There's always going to be parenting on some level or not. But there is a demarcation that we are hitting right now that is a shift in what parenting looks like. So I've seen kind of the things that I've passed on to them. And I think if there is one thing about my personality that I passed on to them that's going to give them problems, I'm not sure I hate that I passed it on to them because it can also be beneficial, but it's the idea of the steadiness of self-actualization. So the idea that you are in a place where you don't get heated during arguments or frustrations or those kind of things. And the reason this can be a bad thing is because in relationships, sometimes you don't communicate what you need to communicate by just being steady and stone-faced, and you know, because it can come across as apathy. Mm-hmm. And many times in my life, people have felt like I didn't care about a topic or something that was important to them because I didn't react in a certain way. And mm-hmm. So, yeah, that personality trait is one that will probably give them trouble every once in a while. And they all have it. They all have it at one level or another. So,
yeah. That's hard, though, because you want to be yourself, mm-hmm. but you also... Sure. A certain level of awareness of yourself and talking about how that can be perceived is, it's interesting because you don't necessarily want to change for other people, but giving them an awareness of how people might perceive you is sometimes helpful.
Yep.
I did want to mention this one from Christy, who says negative self-talk is one.
Oh, I didn't see that one. Yeah, definitely.
Or one of the old habits is being overly self-critical, like that negative self-talk. That is something too. Like I remember my mom talking about how she didn't like her body. And what was really weird was there's two specific instances. One was like when my body started to just change and look more like her body, I got really self-conscious because I looked mm-hmm. more like what she was negatively mm-hmm. talking about herself about. But specifically, she hated her feet, and I have her feet, so I did not wear shoes.
She's just walking on little nubs now, like what's the
I didn't wear shoes that had open toes until I was in my early 30s. Because I didn't want anyone to see my feet because I thought that they were grotesque. Because my mom hates her feet and I have feet just like hers. So it's so interesting how like little comments that she would make about when she was shoe shopping, like, oh, I hate my toes. It is so weird how that stuff can like really get in. And it's just there's too much pressure. There's too much pressure as a parent that like you can't get it all right.
But you go
back and you have those conversations and just say, hey, you know, I'm struggling here. And Iris has been really great with that. I've apologized to her about little things like I snapped at her over the weekend and she's like, Mom, I was just doing this. And I was like, oh, I am so sorry. I thought that you were doing something else entirely. Let's start over again. I'm gonna take a deep breath. Let's start over again. She's great. So I think that level of just self-awareness hopefully will help counterbalance the weird stuff that I'm going to inevitably pass on to her.
Yep.
Oh, the pressure. But
doesn't that take a little bit of the pressure off, though, to know that there's nothing you're going, like, it is a given. You will mess your children up in some way just by being their parent. I think, you know, because we're all human beings, just messing stuff up. It's what we do.
We really are. We have grace, have conversations, teach them how to talk about it without feeling like you can't ever be wrong. Kids need to see us be wrong. In fact, can I tell you something else before your topic?
Sure.
Iris broke one of my mugs. I have like a set of mugs, six matching mugs. And she broke one. She was being silly and kicking around and it fell and it broke. And I reacted like, I was like, oh, okay, that happened. Are you okay? Or is there anything bleeding? Okay, you're good. Clean up a mess. And she was so upset. She's like, I broke it. That was all my fault. And I said, sometimes that happens. Things break. I have five more. It's okay. And she hasn't been able to let it go. So I reacted super well. And I was really proud of myself. I didn't put pressure on her. Mm-hmm. Like nothing. It was great. Nice. But she can't let it go. And she's calling, she's got this word she's experimenting with right now, and it's the word stupid. She's like, I'm so stupid. I've never called her that. I don't know if someone in school has said this to her or where she's picking it up, but she's experimenting with calling herself stupid about the mug. And it's come up a couple times over this weekend, and it's starting to kind of like, all right, I want to do something about this, but I don't know exactly what just yet. But I came up with an idea. I think I'm going to purposefully break a mug in front of her. She's not going to know I'm doing it on purpose. It'll be a cover accident. And then I'm going to break the same mug. We're going to go from 5 to 4. And I just want her to see me mess up. I want her to see me make a mistake. I want her to see me break something. And it's okay. Because it's like, she needs to know that you can mess up and you can make a mistake and you can move on. And right now she's really stuck and beating herself up over this mug, even though no one else is. So I kind of want to like do something on purpose. I'm thinking about it. I'll let you know if I do it.
About it. What if her reaction was like, Mom, you're so stupid?
Well, then we can have a great conversation.
Yeah. I think that's a decent idea. That can be.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Interesting.
If I do it, I'll let you know how it goes.
Yeah, I would love to know. Ready to move on to the A topic?
Yeah, I'm ready.
All right, this should be a fun little quick one, I think. What's a video game that you wish existed?
Oh, my gosh.
I was thinking about this because I've started playing a golf game recently that I'm really enjoying. I've always enjoyed golf video games. But since the last time I played a golf video game, I've really gotten into disc golf. And there are no good disc golf video games. And I just thought, how fun would it be to play disc golf on a video game and like really get like the angles right and the throw right and those kind of things, because I'm enjoying it with the golf game, and so I thought it might be fun to do a disc golf game. Danae's reaction to this, for those who are audio only, is a constant string of faces attempting to hide or control disgust. So Danae, what are you feeling?
Great question. First of all, I want to apologize for judging you.
How could you judge me for something I think I will enjoy?
This is why I'm apologizing for it. We're all different people and we all feel like a game.
But you wouldn't like the golf game either, right? Like, isn't it the same thing?
Yeah, there's something about certain games that are more efficiency minded where you have to like, you know, hit your control button at a specific time and you have to calculate wind speed and like all the things that you get the perfect shot.
Yeah.
That is not something that excites me. And the fact that I judge you for it ever so slightly is what I'm apologizing for, because the games I like are just equally, they're just, it's stupid. I like stupid games. So I like some clever games too, but that kind of game, I never really like, I'm attracted to it. Or your efficiency games where, what are they called?
What are we talking? Are you talking about like venture capitalist and those kind of games? Yeah.
Yes, those kinds of games where you're like building a lemonade empire based on multipliers.
Yeah,
that stuff doesn't. It's not my jam, and I'm sorry that I'm like struggling to be like, oh yes, what we need in the world.
Well, this is why it's a good question. What's your answer, Danae? What video game would you want to see?
It's a great question. But I don't have an answer for it yet, because I don't know what kind of game I would be like, man, that'd be so fun for me to do, because so many that exist.
Shaggy kind of hits on one of the reasons I love playing. Shaggy says, I don't like golf in real life, but I'll play a golf game. And that's kind of it with me, too, is there is something about how, you know, how different it is to, you know, be able to factor in, because things like golf, you're right, have so many different, in real life I'm talking, things you have to think about to hit the perfect swing, you know? And this represents many of those things, especially the newer games, but does so in a way that I can understand and control in a different way. So that makes it kind of fun for me. So
yeah. This is a hard one. I'm having a hard time. Slab says, watch the new Tears of the Kingdom trailer with Baby Slab, and we both talked about how we wish there was a Zelda game that you played as Zelda and had to save Link. I'm surprised that doesn't exist, but you're right. That would be kind of a nice perspective shift.
Nick says, I wish there was a MMORPG like World of Warcraft, only it's Pokemon. You get to pick a character with a Pokemon class like a hunter, only your Pokemon partner has different skills, healing, tanking, DPS, etc. And the dungeons you go to require you to team up with other trainers. Then as you level up, you can add more Pokemon to your party and you can multi-class.
That'd be kind of fun because then you're playing in the world of Pokemon. That'd be interesting. And not too far-fetched. None of these are games that are too far-fetched.
I really
struggle. I'm going to struggle to land on one specifically, but I am reminded of the many times I've tried to find some games for Iris that are kind of more specific to where she's at in her life. And it just takes a long time for me to find them. Mm-hmm. And I have found some really great games just to, that she can play that are technically like a developing some kind of a skill rather than just mindlessness. Mm-hmm. But for me, I have kind of found a game to play to entertain me because I'm super simple to please when it comes to games. I'm sorry.
No.
I'm trying to think of something.
Let's see. Link says, I want a Pokemon game where you can visit every region and be able to catch them all. I think that might exist.
That could exist. That one could happen. That's my problem is I'm thinking of things like, oh, that already exists.
Yeah.
Like there are games that you can play that pay you money. There are games that you can play that help you accomplish actual goals for, you know, brain busters and, and training. There are calming games. There are games that can help you go to sleep at night that you can play that actually begin to calm you down so that you can go to bed. Mm-hmm. And change your screen color so that you dial out at the end of the day instead of amping you up into a frenzy with doom scrolling. So I feel like there's so many options out there. I wish there was an app video game that would attack all the advertisers who make terrible ads for their video games.
This is a good answer.
That's the one I want. Answer.
There are some terrible ones out there. It's like the Wild West of advertising on app games, like where it's just these apps that just appeal to the absolute worst parts of our humanity.
Oh my God. There are some that are so horrible and they're getting worse. There's some games where I'm like, I wonder if iOS is going to like this, but I'll play the game for 6 or 7 days and try to get up to a certain level before I, am willing to bring Iris in. And Iris, she's only allowed to play certain things on her own. She can play the PBS apps without supervision, but anything else I have to be watching with her because the ads are pretty scary sometimes. And the ones I'm talking about that are scary are the ones that are just like the beauty ones really freak me out where you have to shave off someone's head and shave her armpit hair before she's beautiful. And then she's beautiful.
Yep.
And like make her pimples go away before she's beautiful. And that stuff just makes me crazy.
Not only that, but it's so that she can get a guy.
So she can get a guy.
Right. She lost a guy
because the
guy found another more beautiful girl.
Yep.
Quote unquote.
And they're having a baby together.
Right.
Yeah. And then like a choose your own adventure of like, just these weird relationship dynamics and it's 30 solid seconds of whatever they want to show you before you can go to the next thing. And they're just like ad dumping. So yeah, if I had a video game that could attack that actual problem and by playing it, I was literally making the ad world a better place. I would do that.
There was a way. When you served me an ad that I could take money from that company instead of give them money.
Just siphoning it out like crypto siphoning or whatever. Yeah.
Well, there you go. We are over time, but we started quite a bit late.
A little bit late.
We can get to some you questions today. So if you have some you questions, go ahead and put those in the comments and we will get to as many of those as we can. Just put a U at the beginning of your question or comment so that we see it. And we'll answer whatever you're interested in answering. Lolly starts us off with a you question. What's the food most worth burning your mouth for?
Ooh.
I think this has an actual answer, right?
Tea? But that's not food. That's not food.
I guess if you base this on the food where this has happened the most for the most people, like if you use that as your reasoning, mm-hmm. the answer is pizza. Like yeah. there are so many people who
lasagna
burn their mouths on pizza that I think that is objectively you could come up with an equation that would make that the answer.
Meat pies, lasagna. Those are the ones I think of because those retain heat really. I had some food in Europe that was super hot mm-hmm. and I just suffered because it was so good. And pizza was one of them.
My answer might be like a fruit pie, like from like a turnover or something that's been heated up. Like,
yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Definitely burned my mouth on those because I could not wait to taste the cherry filling.
Cinnamon rolls straight out of the oven.
Sure.
That's difficult to
the icing, especially. Wait. It's that sugar, man. That sugar stays hot. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So. Yeah. Any baked good that comes straight out of the oven that's super mm-hmm. yummy. Right.
Yeah, like
oven,
a chocolate chip obviously. Cookie or something
yeah,
like that.
Yeah. You can burn for it. Yeah.
Let's see. Slab asks,
any thoughts on the current season of Ted Lasso or best to wait until the finale?
I'm not sure what the best to wait until the finale question is about.
Like, do you wait until the finale is done and then binge it, maybe, is the question.
I see. So not directly related to Ted Lasso, but just in general or specifically?
You're learning that you have to be very specific with Aaron.
No, I want to answer the question he's asking. They're asking. I want to answer the question they're asking. Any thoughts on the current season of Ted Lasso? Yes, I have thoughts. I love this show. I've loved every season and really enjoying watching it. And that's why I would never wait to binge it because I want to see the episodes as soon as they come out. But it is one of those shows that is a bingeable show. It's not like necessarily one you have to keep up with to be in conversation, those kind of things. As far as binging in general, I much prefer weekly.
There you go. I haven't watched Ted Lasso, but I have been watching a lot of the reactions on the only social media platform that I open regularly, which is Twitter, and that's starting to dwindle. So I have very little. I'm not on Facebook or Instagram, and I'm starting to do less and less on Twitter. But when something happened with Ted Lasso and the people that I do follow on Twitter, like my specific feed really loved it. And I think I even saw a couple of headline articles come through too. So I'm curious about it because I did enjoy, I think I watched the first two or three episodes because we were doing some stuff for our job. And so I was specifically watching it for that. Mm-hmm. But I really like the dynamic and I really like the characters and I'm very curious to watch it, but I haven't.
What I really, really love about it is that there is a central character who is not just a sunny-eyed optimist, but it shows the realistic version of being a sunny-eyed optimist, which is it doesn't mean you're a perfect person. It doesn't mean that everything goes your way. What it means is that you lead with the idea of positivity. And the Ted Lasso character leads with positivity so authentically. I just love it so much. You know, it's very much a Mr. Rogers kind of mindset, you know.
It kind of has that. This one's from Lolly for me. Have you or are you going to see the new D&D movie? Yes, I have seen it. It's the first time I've gone to go watch a movie in the theater purposefully, I think in 2 years, which says a lot about my character. And I did enjoy myself. I laughed and had a good time. I found myself unable to turn off my brain that wants to see things done differently, which is something that existed before my job, but has certainly been amplified since having my job. We talk about that a lot in just like the conversations we have, that there's part of our active mind that's hard to shut down when watching movies. And it was really interesting to have that happen with the D&D movie. But I think they made a really fun movie to watch that had a nice, good humor, easy to follow plot, in my opinion, with some good heart to it as well, and interesting characters to watch interplay on screen. I really liked the CGI work in it. I thought that the magic looked fun. I thought that the take on what you would expect to see and making it different was fun, without like giving spoilers away of different kind of specific things to look out for. But, and if there was another movie, I would immediately go watch it, which is a good sign for me. So I had a really good time. I don't think it's for everybody, obviously, but what was interesting too is it wasn't so heavy-handed with the D&D references. So I think this is a movie that even someone who has no idea what Dungeons & Dragons is, or even any of the rules of the game, could easily watch this and not feel like they're missing out on something. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of references in it, including some creatures that you see that are clearly from like the manual. But that is a really nice, subtle fan service where we're getting to see this cool beast come to life on the screen, but it's not taking away because it's so heavy-handed. So anyways, I really enjoyed it. I had a good time.
Yeah.
And I would recommend it for people who enjoy fantasy movies, fantasy adventure movies, comedy person, and then of course a D&D lover, I think is going to have a really fun time with it personally. Especially like there's a couple of moments when there's a specific spell that's cast, but even if you don't know what it is, you're enjoying what's happening on screen because they really bring it to life. And that's hard to do, I think, sometimes. But I thought that did a really good job.
Let's move into this question from Link. What is your current favorite movie of the year so far? Because Dungeons & Dragons might be mine. And I really, really enjoyed it. I'm not a Dungeons & Dragons person. I've never really played a full campaign. And so it's not that I was necessarily attached to that stuff. I just think it's a really well-made film. And I think the guys that wrote and directed it, just, I really vibe with their sense of humor. They also did Game Night. They also wrote and directed Game Night, which is just a phenomenal comedy. I just think this is a great comedy. If nothing else, it's just a great comedy. It's a good time. And so it might be Dungeons. It's either Dungeons and Dragons or Air are the two from this year that I really. So, yeah. Danae, I don't know if you have an answer to that question, but I thought since my answer was Dungeons and Dragons.
It's the only one that I've seen outside of what I've watched for work.
Well, there you go.
So, and those are often not even ones that came out this year. So I'm like, I liked this movie, and it's something that came out in 2017, and I have no idea.
Right. Yes.
But yeah. I want to do this one from Nick, who says, we're going to take the kids to DC next weekend. We're on the way home from a wedding in North Carolina. We're doing the Air and Space Museum, but is there any other must-dos in DC good for kids? Man, if you have the chance to go see the Natural History Museum, that one blows my mind. And it's very well maintained, and they have different, obviously, sections that you're going to be walking through. I personally don't like the Air and Space Museum as much, but I'm not as much into like planes and space and stuff like that. So for me, it was interesting walking through and seeing old airplanes and kind of like, this is the history of this part of our world. And that's great. But the Natural History Museum had dinosaurs and it had gemstones. It has like this jewelry set. The Hope Diamond is there. So I'm more interested in like that kind of stuff. And they usually have like some one-off displays. So that one is for sure one if you have a chance to only do one other thing, depending on how many days you're spending in DC. If you could do one other thing that's free and I think the kids would enjoy. But if they've seen dinosaur bones before, they might not enjoy that as much. Because for me, like going in there and seeing the Triceratops skull for the first time was pretty mind-boggling. Because until then, it was Land Before Time, right? And I'm like, oh, it's kind of like cute. And then you go see a freaking dinosaur skull and you're like, I would be dead. This thing is massive. Or the first time you see a T-Rex, I would be dead. Look how huge this thing is. Or the first time you see a sloth from that era, a giant sloth. Have you ever seen a giant sloth skeleton, Aaron?
I have, yes.
Holy crap, they're huge. Mm-hmm. It was a slot. Anyways, that's that blows my mind.
Yeah, but you could run away from them pretty easy.
You think so?
I second the Natural History Museum. I also don't know why Danae is dissing my space museum, the Air and Space Museum. The only other thing I would mention is don't underestimate the impact some of the memorials could have on your children. Depending on their age, you get to a little bit there is a too young for that kind of stuff, I think. But, you know, I think it might be more broad than you think. When we took our kids to DC, they were in the 4 to 10 range, and they zoned into the Vietnam Memorial and the Lincoln Memorial. You know, the grandeur of those memorials are, you know, something that captures anybody's visual attention. But then to have them ask, you know, what are all these names, or what does this mean? Or there's something interesting about how that kind of grandeur can lead to conversation and education. So don't underestimate a walk down the whatever pool there, and you know, seeing the Lincoln Memorial. And
I'm gonna do
it's something
quick
you can only do in DC.
Yeah, so. Another couple quick mentions is the Botanical Gardens is beautiful. Mm-hmm. Library of Congress is beautiful, and then they have the National Museum of the American Indian there. And their food at that museum is scrummy because they have a lot of variety of just like different kinds of corn and tortillas and stuff. My cousin lives in DC, so I've had the chance to come visit a few times. But I love the Botanical Garden. So if any of your kids are interested in like just plant life, it's gorgeous, gorgeous. And I think you're going when all of the, there might be like a lot of the dogwoods in bloom and stuff. So anyway, enjoy it. Enjoy it. Enjoy it. I'm jealous that you're there. It's such a beautiful city. If you have the time to explore it.
Yep. Well, I think that can wrap it up. Thank you for hanging out with us this morning for a little bit. Nice. We always love doing that.
We do love doing that thing. Thanks for being patient with us when we're late and when we can't come. I wish I could tell you guys like the actual reasons why sometimes we can't go live. Just know that it's usually my fault. and by my fault, I mean I'm having a migraine. I have a child. I'm on, like, there's just so much going on in my life. So Aaron's super patient with me. Thank you guys for being patient with me too. Maybe someday I'll be able to be more consistent, but we appreciate that you're here.
We're excited to be here whenever we can. And I believe what Danae has said from the very beginning of today's episode is if you feel any frustration, or, you know, being upset about the fact that we miss a Monday or whatever, your first instinct should be to blame Iris. That is, that's
good
what
call
she's
back.
Communicated for us today.
Just don't tell her I said that.
She's going to grow
reference this podcast when she's 20 and she'll be like, well, this makes so much sense. Thanks, Mom.
Somebody was saying recently, I forget where it was. You may have even been there. But that there will exist. No. It was on a podcast I listened to. There will exist a world someday, very soon, because of what we're calling AI, but just the way that computers can access information so quickly and come up with stuff, where our children will be able to go, hey, can you play for me everything my parents said about me on their shows online? And it'll just be there for them just to listen to. They won't have to seek it out. They won't have to be interested in what we're doing. They can just ask a computer, hey, I'm just curious what they said about me when I was growing up publicly. And it'll all be there for them. So when you hear this part of that, my dear sons, just know it was all love at its foundation. And I hope
we lovingly blame you for everything.
For everything. Thank you. We will absolutely catch you on the next Monday or someday. Love you guys. Bye.
Thanks for tuning in to listen to us shoe another dough.
If you'd like to watch the show live, we stream it on Mondays and Sundays at 9 a.m. Central on all major streaming platforms. Subscribe, follow, join the conversation on YouTube, Twitter, Twitch, or maybe
you can also be a member of Team DNA. Members get their own custom podcast feed that will include not only the Monday show, but all bonus shows we do through the rest of the week. Membership is $5 a month, and you can join today at patreon.com/studioDNA.
Finally, thank you so much for being a part of this fun little community of awesomeness. Remember, your quirks aren't bugs, they're features. Find them, celebrate them, and know you're loved and valuable for just being you.
See you next time.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of planning, investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.